Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Warney, and joining me on the line, as always, is Ethan Sachs. Ethan, are you ready for some Wild of Eldraine previews? I've been looking at these cards, and I am jonesing to talk about them with you.
Of course I'm ready for the Wilds of Eldraine previews, but I feel a little shook. I feel nervous now that I didn't get any sort of title. Ethan the Ginger Brute Sachs, like nothing? Yeah, nothing for me?
It's Sunday night, it's late, it was hot.
Oh my God.
Not feeling my most creative at the moment.
I have you trumped, sir. I am coming off of a flight, flew from Colorado back home today. Jonah having one of the worst sleep regressions ever, had some time with the in-laws that was a little high stress. And I have to say, at the end of all that, you know, got through the flight, got home, went to the grocery store, came home, made dinner, unpacked, all that stuff. I gotta say, the podcast is the light at the end of the tunnel. I was not like, oh man, I can't believe I have to podcast after this. I was like, well, at least once all this is done, I get to talk about Magic with Ben. Very excited about that.
And I ruined your day by not giving you a title. I'm so sorry.
And now the episode is over. Now it's done. I'm very excited to talk about Wilds of Eldraine. And I would also like to know your thoughts. I know you were, Eldraine, maybe in my top 27 sets of all time. I don't know. You had a week with it. What do you think? Where are you at? What can I get from you?
It's not there for me. I'm sorry. That has its moments. I think one of the things I appreciate about it a lot is I feel like it gets better the deeper your knowledge of the format. Mm-hmm. Like, so that discovery process was awesome along the way, but it does feel done to me. And there, like, a lot of weak packs. The first draft of it was like, oh, this pack's terrible. Oh, this must just be a weird draft. And then I had like five drafts like that. And you really are a little at the mercy of getting past a build around rare sometimes, I think, to really compete on power level. And blue is a bit more oppressive than I remember.
Oh, all right, now we're done. Now I cannot co-sign the Mildraine conversation.
It's not Mildraine. It's just blue. Like, counter spells are broken. Like, didn't say please. Even if you're not milling out, just 3-mana instant speed counter spell is tough in this format.
Yeah, cancel overpowered Magic card. You heard it here first.
Listen, I'm not here to say that you should not have Eldraine as your top set. It is just in my top 10, probably. It's a good format for me.
Yeah.
It's not one of my favorites of all time.
I mean, I will confess that I did not play it the full week. I feel like I got my high early with the 7/2 Fires of Invention deck playing. Oof. Like, that deck was Specie Spice. And I was like, what are my last two playables? And Ben was like, these two off color cards. I was like, I can't cast those. And he was like, fires, baby. And it's true. Three Arcanist Owls, basically mono blue. Three Arcanist Owls to go find Fires of Invention and then just pop off. And the deck was everything I wanted it to be. And then I never really got to chase that dragon down again in the past week. I did mess around with some Vintage Cube on Magic Online. I don't know about you. This is the first time I played Vintage Cube in a while. And I felt out of my depths in the first draft that I did.
I experienced that same thing. The cube's a little bit different. Uh-huh. And the decks are a little bit different. And I was playing like garbage, like just not paying attention at all. It was tough. I'm on my second draft. I have like 75% of a lands deck that is not really functional at all. So we're going to be on to draft 3 shortly here in the Vintage Cube. But nice. I watched LSV videos and I listened to the LR where they were talking about white, and I was like, oh yes, Vintage Cube, this is awesome, I'm coming back. I was fired up, and I just totally took a dump on my first two drafts. So we got to get the old Vintage Cube skills back up.
Yeah, third time's the charm there. And I'm charmed and hyped for Arena Cube to be coming out this week and getting prepped for the Arena Open next weekend. We have a video up on our YouTube channel of me going over the card changes. We really got scooped last week, by the way. Gotta shout that out. Just like dropped an episode that was completely out of date, like 8 months old. And then WotC was like, here's the actual list. So we did drop a YouTube video talking about the cube changes. There's about 40% of the cards are being swapped out for some new updates, which is really exciting. So I went over those on our channel, and we will of course have that update for you once we have, you know, 3 or 4 days of playing with the cube under our belt. This week we'll drop an episode on the YouTube channel. So you want to make sure you check that out to get you prepped for the weekend. But for now, we're not talking about that stuff. We're not talking about cube. We're not talking about OG Eldraine. It's Wilds of Eldraine preview season time, Ben. You hyped?
I am hyped.
All right, let's get to it. We got some housekeeping stuff, and then we're going to get into mechanics and specific cards. First things first is the Patreon page. Patreon.com/Lords of Limited is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. This is the time to get in on the Patreon because you get access to the Lords of Limited Discord, baby. And that's the place to be for new sets, for high stakes, high competitive stakes, magic events on Arena, like the Arena Open coming up next week, for people breaking the cube. We already have people making predictions about their, you know, whatever, they're the top five cube cards, looking at data. I know I'm going to use the D word a couple times this episode. Looking at data from the Arena Open, which was cube 8 months ago, 9 months ago, whatever, in December, and trying to figure out what was good in that cube. And, you know, like I said, 40% of the cards coming in and out. I don't know how much that data is going to hold water, but we have people trying to break it open. That's the community you want to be a part of. A lot of other great stuff as you move up the reward tier rankings of the Patreon page, including access to the episodes a day in advance, access to the show notes, and even access to monthly coaching sessions with me or Ben. So if any or all of that sounds of interest to you, you can head on over there. And we want to shout out our new patrons the first week that they joined. So this week we're welcoming Control-Alt-Delete, Winston, Patrick, Avid, The Data, March, Zachary, Colin, Matthew, Joe, Brian, Chris, and Steven. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
I appreciate everyone's support, but The Data. It feels like they're trying to get on my good side and they're trying a little too hard. I don't really like it.
You think they're trying to get on your good side?
Maybe not. Maybe they just want me to rage. I don't know. Maybe they're getting what they want.
I think it's well worth $1 an episode to needle Ben. That's what I think.
Show is also brought to you by Cool Stuff Inc., coolstuffinc.com, where they got cool stuff in stock. You know what time it is, Ethan.
Trying to pre-order a box of Wilds of Eldraine to put in your closet, baby.
You gotta clear that space out, make room, do a little dusting up there. We have Wilds of Eldraine booster boxes available for pre-order, so you can know in just a few short weeks' time, you are going to have a brand new booster box to store in your closet for up to months before you open those packs and draft.
Why stop at months?
Years.
Just who knows?
Basically an investment. Who needs the stock market? Wilds of Eldraine booster boxes, get them in there. Stonks are going to be going higher and higher over the years.
Up, up, up.
And whatever you're getting, whether it's Wilds of Eldraine pre-orders or board games or whatnot, please be sure to use checkout code LOL, all caps, to get 5% off anything in the store when you order.
All right, baby. You, because I was out of town, you did all of these show notes, gathered up all of these sweet preview cards. Talk to me about the mechanics that we're going to be seeing here in the upcoming set.
Yeah, first up, we have the Enchanting Tale slot. And this is not necessarily a mechanic, but it's important to know that every pack is going to have a slot dedicated for this Enchanting Tales card. It's either going to be an uncommon, a rare, or a mythic. We've seen this type of thing before in previous sets, but there are 63 fan favorite enchantments of those various rarities that are going to be inserted into this one dedicated slot per pack. So you'll have one of these in every pack that you open. You'll have a chance to have two rares per pack. You know, your normal rare plus a rare or a mythic of the Enchanting Tales slot might also be an uncommon as well. But be on the lookout for these. This format has a lot of stuff going on with enchantments, and there are some sweet build arounds that actually I think have gotten a lot better from these Enchanting Tales in the format.
Yeah. So I was thinking back, like, this is the fourth time we've had this, whatever, extra slot, mystical archive, Enchanting Tales, whatever you want to call them.
Bonus sheet is the preferred term, right?
Bonus sheet. Thank you. This is the fourth time we've had the bonus sheet. So working backwards, we had them in March of the Machine, right? We had the Legends, and then we had the Artifacts in Brothers War, and then all the way back to Strixhaven, we had the mystical archive, the spells. And I'm a huge fan of all of those. I mean, I think Strixhaven was the one that fell the flattest for me, but mostly just because that set was like a guild set and fell kind of flat for me. But I'm a huge bonus sheet fan. I do not agree with the takes that I've seen of let's get a bonus sheet in every set, but I do think it feels special when we get one.
Yeah, some sprinkles on the ice cream every once in a while.
Next up, we got roll tokens. Do you know how excited I am about auras mattering, about enchantments mattering, Ben? You know I'm a big enchantress guy.
You are a big enchantress guy, and finally you get to do it without paying the cost of putting terrible cards in your deck.
Well, come on now. You know what I'm capable of. So these roll tokens are six different aura tokens with enchant creatures. So we'll run through the six, and then we'll talk about how they work. So first up, we've got Cursed, which says enchanted creature has base power and toughness 1/1.
Yeah, and I think the names largely imply what they do as well. Mm-hmm. So next up, we've got Monster. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1, and you would expect monsters to have Trample.
Next up is Royal. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has Ward 1.
Then we've got Sorcerer. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has, whenever this creature attacks, scry 1.
And then we've got Wicked. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has, when this aura is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, each opponent loses 1 life.
And then the most awkward, we have Young Hero, which is whenever enchanted creature attacks, if its toughness is 3 or less, put a +1/+1 counter on it.
Okay, so anytime a creature has more than one role controlled by the same player attached to it, the creature keeps the newest role and all the others controlled by that player are put into the graveyard. And the reason we're being specific about that is because you could have, like, my creature could have a cursed token from Ben on it, and then I could put some buff on it, like the monster token, and then it would be a 1/1 with +1/+1 and trample. But if Ben wanted to put another roll token on it, or if I did, that would knock off the previous one owned by that player.
Boom. Next up, we've got Bargain, which is a new ability that allows you to sacrifice an artifact, an enchantment, or a token as an additional cost when you're casting the spell to get a benefit. So we've got an example here in Troublemaker Oof, which is 1 and a green for a 2/2, and it has Bargain. And when it enters the battlefield, if it was bargained, exile target artifact or enchantment an opponent controls.
We've also got a little cheap burn spell called Torch the Tower. Single red for an instant, deals 2 to target creature or planeswalker. Or if it was bargained, instead it deals 3 to that permanent and you scry 1. And if a permanent dealt damage by Torch would die this turn, you exile it instead.
Next new mechanic is Celebration. This is an ability word that highlights abilities that care if 2 or more non-land permanents enter the battlefield under your control during the turn.
And this is particularly interesting, right? Like, when I first saw this, I was like, oh, is this like Alliance, right? From Streets of New Capenna, which cared about like creatures entering the battlefield. But it's just non-land permanents, and there are a bucket of tokens in this format. You know, food is back. We'll talk about rat tokens coming in, etc. So I think this mechanic is really going to have legs. For example, we've got a card here, Ash Party Crasher. It's red white for a 2/2 legendary creature with haste and has celebration. Whenever Ash Party Crasher attacks, if 2 or more non-land permanents enter the battlefield under your control this turn, you put a +1/+1 counter on Ash. And lastly, Ben, Adventure's back, baby. Returning mechanic that allows you to choose whether you are casting the adventure half of a card or the permanent half of a card. If you choose to cast the adventure first, you put the card into exile, and then you can cast the permanent half of the card from exile at your leisure.
So for example, we've got Besotted Knight here, and the adventure is Betroth the Beast. So Betroth the Beast is a 1-mana sorcery adventure. Create a royal roll token attached to target creature you control, and then Besotted Knight is a 3 and a white, 3/3 human knight. So you can choose to cast Besotted Knight first, in which case you just ignore the Betroth the Beast adventure portion of the card. But if you cast the adventure first, you know, you get your royal roll token, and then you also at a later date can cast Besotted Knight. But worth noting, if you go to attach this royal roll to a creature, like, your adventures can get fizzled, right? So if they're all instants and sorceries, and if their target goes away, the whole spell fizzles. So you won't be able to cast Besotted Knight later if that happens.
Right. So if you go to put a royal roll token on your creature, I kill it out from under you, Besotted Knight just goes to the graveyard, like any sort of spell getting fizzled would.
Yes.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with a bunch of cards to talk about.
With the busy fall season just around the corner, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. My wife was actually just telling me about a text thread between her and her high school girlfriends, and all of them were talking about how much they wished they meal prepped more, but just didn't have the time or the motivation. Luckily, Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved meals delivered straight to your door. Refresh your healthy eating habits without missing a beat. Choose from over 34 flavor-packed meals weekly that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Whether you've just fallen off the meal prep wagon or are looking to get on for the first time, Factor can be a huge help by giving you inspiration or the time you need to get ahead for the next week, or just fully embrace its convenience to save time for other things you have to do. Head to factormeals.com/LOL50 and use code LOL50 to get 50% off. That's code LOL50 at factormeals.com/LOL50 to get 50% off.
All right, Ben, so they did preview season a little differently here. I feel like usually we get drips and drabs, little trickles, lots of rares and mythics spoiled first. This time we just had, boom, baby, all 10 signpost uncommons in one sheet on like day one, I think.
Yeah, it was very weird. I saw it popped in the Discord and I was like, whoa, this is awesome. Makes our job much easier.
Right. So we don't have to like, usually what happens again, we get scooped a little bit, right? We record on Sunday. We're like, well, based on our guesses, we think blue black might be this. And then the card is previewed Monday morning. And it's like, oh, okay, that's what it is. Great. So we don't have to do that. We have all the information for us here. So kick things off for us with red green.
Yeah, and all of these archetypes, cool thing, is going to be based on a fairy tale. So it should feel a little flavorful as you're drafting these draft archetypes. Red green is 4+ power creatures. We've seen that before. And the card here is a Ruby Daring Tracker, a Little Red Riding Hood. It says red green for a 1/2 human scout. It's got haste. And whenever Ruby Daring Tracker attacks while you control a creature with power 4 or greater, it gets +2/+2 until end of turn. And it also is going to help you get out those creatures power 4 or greater by tapping to add a red or a green.
Okay, I have a question for you, and I know that you're the wrong person to ask this to, but the wording here of whenever Ruby Daring Tracker attacks while you control a creature with power 4 or greater, does that mean that usually when it's like, if you control a creature with power 4 or greater, that's a thing that like checks when it triggers and checks on resolution. Does this only check on the trigger? Like, it attacks while you control a creature with power 4 or greater, it's getting +2/+2. They can't like, trigger goes on the stack, kill your 4 power thing, and now you're attacking with a 1/2.
That checks out. Okay. I like what you're putting down.
Yeah, all right. So you're just a yes man here. All right. I'm never a fan of the 4 power stuff from red green. Has that ever felt like it was special or like that it was a thing worth going after?
No, but it is helpful, right? That Ruby's a mana dork and a beater, right? I mean, if it's going to be good,
fair.
Giving it a card that helps accelerate out the 4 power things and then turns into a large aggressive monster. I mean, this is a way to make it good, I think.
Yeah, I'm into that. Next up, we have white black, which is Bargain and Sacrifice. That's my bread and butter, baby. This is based on Snow White. So our signpost here is Neva Stalked by Nightmares. 2 white black for a 2/2 with menace. So 4 mana for a 2/2 menace. When it enters the battlefield, you return target creature or enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand. Hello. And then whenever an enchantment you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, put a ++1 counter on Neva, then scry one. All right, I'm in.
Yeah, this card does a lot. I mean, it's a Gravedigger. All of the auras are enchantments, and you're going to be able to sacrifice those to Bargain, to grow Neva. I mean,
all of the roll tokens are auras, right?
Yes,
exactly.
And then you're going to be able to bargain those tokens away to grow Neva because they're going to hit the graveyard, even though they're tokens, before they fizzle off into the ether, you know? Mm-hmm. So this is a little understated on the front, maybe.
No, it's a Gravedigger.
Yeah,
it's Gravedigger.
Gravedigger's not as good in 2023, though, right?
I'm not ready to make that claim yet.
I'm ready to make that claim. All but right. I do well, think
that
Neva's
then
quite
it's probably
good.
Right.
Next up, we've got Green Blue, which is another classic ramp to mana value 5+ that usually doesn't pan out. But again, cautiously optimistic here. We've got Troyan Gutsy Explorer, which is based on Jack and the Beanstalk.
Okay.
This is 1 blue green for a 1/3 that taps to add blue and green. Spend this mana only to cast spells with mana value 5 or greater or spells with X in their mana costs. And you can pay blue, tap, draw a card, discard a card.
Maybe it was too busted. Like, what makes sense in my head is if this was 2 mana. Because then on turn 3, you could cast a 5 drop.
That would be broken in half, right?
Yeah, but pretty sweet, right?
It would be pretty sweet.
It'd be pretty sweet.
Still getting there on turn 5, even if you miss a land drop, or the following turn after casting this, even if you miss a land drop, which is also pretty nice. I mean, both of these cards seem pushed, Ruby and Troyan. I mean, if the big dumb stuff is going to work, it's going to be on the backs of these cards, I think.
Well, and it again solves the issue of what do you do with your mana dork on turn 6, right? Well, now your mana dork is a looter.
Yeah, I like both these cards. I am, again, not as jazzed about these archetypes based on past experiences and also looking at how broken some of the other archetypes seem to be.
Correct. Well, speaking of, I think we may be getting a good food archetype here with Golgari. So black-green is mid-range food, which again sounds like graveyard stuff to me a little bit, but I like this signpost here. This is based on Hansel and Gretel. We've got Greta, Sweet Tooth Scourge. It's 1 black-green for a 3/3. When it enters the battlefield, you make a food token, and you can pay green, sack food, to put a ++1 counter on target creature, activate only as a sorcery. Or you can pay 1 and a black to sacrifice a food. You draw a card, and you lose 1 life. Hello.
Yeah, card does a lot. I mean, a lot of rectangles, a lot of abilities. The card's just rawly efficient.
Yes, I agree.
Next up, we've got White Blue, which this archetype looks broken in half to me. So this is tapping enemy creatures.
Ben and Azorius, name a more iconic duo. I'll wait.
We've got Charade of Numbing Depths, which is based on the Snow Queen. This is 2 white blue for a 2/3 merfolk wizard. Whenever it enters the battlefield, you tap target creature and opponent controls and put a stun counter on it. That magic card is already excellent. Mm-hmm. Whenever you tap one or more untapped creatures your opponents control, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. I have a feeling this archetype is going to be oppressive.
I do think the tweaking of, and I believe this is the case throughout, the tweaking of that it's you only get the bonuses when you're tapping an untapped thing is really cool. That, like, if there's a threat that is pressuring you, you can keep it tapped, you can tap it or whatever, but you won't get the bonus here from Charade, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I think ideally this looks like it wants to be aggressive to me.
Oh, yeah. No, that's totally reasonable. But I'm just saying, like, you may, you know, just recognizing that that wording is there and that that caveat is there.
For sure.
Next up, we've got Blue-Black. This is Fairy type / Control. This is based on Sleeping Beauty. Signpost here is Obira Dreaming Duelist. Blue-Black for a 2/2 legendary creature with flash and flying. And whenever another fairy enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses one life. Pretty simple there.
Yeah, the card is just very efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we've got Red White, which is aggressive and playing 2 permanents based on the celebration mechanic. Mm. This is Cinderella's Story, and we've got Ash Party Crasher. We saw this when we looked at the celebration mechanic. This is the Red White 2/2 with haste, and whatever attacks, if you had celebration happening, you get a +1/+1 counter on Ash.
All right, here we go. Selesnya, creature enchantment. This is Beauty and the Beast, I guess. So here we have Sir Armont the Redeemer, 3 green-white for a 4/4. When Sir Armont the Redeemer enters the battlefield, you create a monster roll token attached to another target creature you control. So that's the +1/+1 and trample. And enchanted creatures you control get +1/+1. So that's just, as long as Sir Armont is on the battlefield, that's giving +2/+2 and trample to something. Plus, this is a 5-mana 4/4.
Yeah, I mean, this card's going to enable attacks the turn it comes down.
Yeah.
I would imagine you're going to want to be fairly aggressive as green-white and then slam this and then swing out with an embiggened team.
Exactly.
Next up, we've got Blue-Red, which is Instants, Sorceries, and Adventures, because all those adventures have Instants and Sorceries stapled to them. This is based on the Sorcerer's Apprentice, and here we've got Johann Apprentice Sorcerer, 2 blue-red for a 2/5. You can look at the top card of your library anytime. Once each turn, you may cast an instant or sorcery spell from the top of your library.
I'm into that. I'm really happy that this is a 2/5 and not a 2/4.
Yes, it still feels a little slow and clunky to me.
I agree. Yeah, because often what's interesting about this is that this points to value, and often when we have blue red spells matter, which is just seems to be what we're doing these days, which is totally fine, those decks play out pretty tempo assertively, right? And this points to, no, I'm gonna just get a ton of card advantage because I can play spells off the top, you know?
Yeah, we'll have to see.
And lastly, we've got Black Red, which is based on the Pied Piper. This is where we have Rat Tokens Aggro. So excited for this. We've got Totentanz Swarm Piper, 1 black-red for a 2/3. When Totentanz Swarm Piper or another non-token creature you control dies, create a 1/1 black rat creature token with this creature can't block, and you can pay 1 and a black to have target attacking rat you control gain death touch until end of turn. Ben, I've got one word for you.
Wreck. Tangles.
Yeah, but for this set, it's Rat Tangles.
Ooh, I like
okay.
it.
All right. I mean, this is just everything I want to do. Just
yeah,
want
this,
little guys.
This archetype guys. Looks yeah. crazy good. Crazy good.
You it's already have. Well, it sounds supported. Like you've already got, like, you're into white blue. You're into black red. Anything else that looks like pushed to you based off these spoilers? I want these takes.
It's hard to say based off the spoilers. We haven't seen many bargain cards previewed yet for white black, mm-hmm. so hard to know there. Down on red, green, and blue, green based on past experience, but maybe those uncommons are enough to pull them over the top. Black, green food looks solid, but it just depends on how easy it's going to be to make food tokens. We haven't seen a ton of previews yet there, so I guess TBD. Love the white, blue uncommon, love the black, red uncommon. Red, white, I'm sure is going to be good. Not my cup of tea necessarily. And I think blue, black, we haven't seen a lot for, but I do have high hopes for blue, black fairy control as well.
And possibly, you know, often I feel like those very linear archetypes are often drafted pretty highly in the early weeks because they're pretty clear, right? If it's, hey, it's fairies, well, great. Then I just snap up like removal and card draw and fairies and probably win. So something to keep an eye on there for sure. We've got removal coming up next. Let's see what's going on with removal.
First up, we've got Cut In, which is 3 in a red for a sorcery, deals 4 damage to target creature, and you create a young hero roll token attached up to 1 target creature you control. This looks excellent. A classically costed removal spell that's also going to have synergy with spells and also going to have synergy with enchantments. I expect this to be very good.
Despite Ben saying they all explain what they do, I'm just going to make sure that we remind folks what these roll tokens do for maybe this episode, next episode. So this young roll, that's the, if its toughness is 3 or less when it attacks, you put a +/-1 counter on it. Interesting how the young hero roll token interacts specifically with the cursed roll token, right? Your opponent makes your thing a 1-1. Then you can say, okay, you want to make it a 1-1. Now I can go counter, counter. And then if you have a way to knock off the cursed token at some point, then you have a really large creature potentially.
Yeah, and also worth noting too, I think for card evaluation purposes, which roll it is doesn't matter that much. The more important thing is that you are getting an enchantment that gives +1/+1 in some senses.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to push back on that just a little bit. So we've got 4 of them that do just straight up give +1/+1. Then there's the young hero, which has the caveat, and then there's cursed, right? So I think those 4 can largely be created equal to some extent. And then I think cursed, certainly different as the only, you know, pseudo removal, Kazmina's transmutation, whatever, frogify, however you want to classify the 1-1 base power toughness. And then the young hero, which, you know, could be excellent, could be awkward.
Young hero seems awkward to me. I think I would initially have it lower than the 4 that just gives straight up +1/+1.
That makes sense to me. Next, we've got Flick a Coin, X1's Beware, 2 in a red for an instant. Flick a Coin deals 1 damage to any target. You create a treasure token and you draw a card.
Whew. Card does a lot. It's a little pricey at 3 mana, but I'm sure I'm going to be playing some Flick a Coin.
But it's only 2 mana, right?
Oh, because you get the treasure back.
You get the treasure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. This card seems pretty wrecked to me. Like, I don't know what to do with this.
I like it.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got a reprint, Glass Casket, 1 in a white for an artifact. ETBs, exile target creature an opponent controls with mana value 3 or less until Glass Casket leaves the battlefield.
Yeah, the card was a solid removal spell in OG Eldraine, and I assume will be one here as well. Stroke of Midnight. I don't usually shout this out. Do love the flavor of this. And it's a pretty dang good removal spell too. 2 in a white for an instant. Destroy target non-land permanent. Its controller creates a 1-1 white human creature token.
Good-ish.
I mean, it's the same, it's whatever, it's Raven form, it's sort of, it's a frogify, kind of, right? Like, it is turning a thing into a 1-1, which is always, it's always, like, better for your opponent than you think. I do think instant speed, destroy target, non-land permanent probably makes up for that.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Because classically, this effect has not been good, but I think this is versatile enough that it probably is.
Correct, yeah.
Next up, we've got Bitter Chill, like this card. 1 in a blue for an enchantment aura, enchant creature. When ETBs, tap enchanted creature. So going to slot right into that blue-white deck. This is an uncommon as well. Enchanted creature doesn't untap during its controller's untap step. And when Bitter Chill is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, you may pay 1. If you do, scry 1, then draw a card. So this is going to be some early removal for you, probably synergistic. And then late in the game, when you don't need this anymore, you bargain it away, pay 1, scry 1, draw a card. Like, this just looks excellent to me.
I can't believe this only costs 2. Like, tap a thing, keep it tapped for 2 mana is... it's a pretty aggressive rate. I wonder if this is like R&D being like, all right, how much do we need to push these...
or to play them?
Usually these are 4 mana, and they're commons when they're 4 mana, but like, I have not seen this when it's like, oops, all upside for just 2 mana. So that's something to keep an eye on. Next up is Fairy Fencing. This is X and a black for an instant at uncommon. It says target creature gets -X/-X until end of turn. It gets an additional -3/-3 if you control the fairy as you cast this spell. So could, if you have a fairy, it's just single black -3/-3 at instant speed.
Yeah, card's excellent. Next up, we've got Taken by Nightmares, 2 black/black for an instant, exile target creature. If you control an enchantment, scry 2. Classic instant speed removal spell, going to be good.
And exile is gonna be, like, exile is always more relevant than we think it is, so I just want to shout that out here. Next is Stone Splitter Bolt. X and a red for an instant with bargain, deals X damage to target creature or planeswalker. If this spell was bargained, it deals twice X damage to that permanent instead. Interesting. Less jazzed about this.
I mean, it's going to be good. You're going to pick it and put it in your decks.
Okay, fine. I will.
Next, we've got Rat Out. This is kind of combat trick, kind of removal. This is black for an instant. Up to one target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. Then create a 1/1 black rat creature token with this creature can't block.
Yeah, interesting. So like sort of the skullduggery variant. Sometimes we see like fungal infection, I think, from Dominaria, which is like single black. I think got -1/-1 and you got a Saproling, which was a 1/1, but that could block. But I think these tricks are generally pretty darn good. And another nod, and this is only two, but two at common, another nod to look out one toughness creatures. And I'm not saying, and I think rats are another thing, as we'll talk about, but you've sort of seen this a little bit, that there are these 1/1 rat tokens that can't block. And not to say that that means that, you know, you can't have X1s that want to attack, obviously, because the rats can't block, but you don't want to have any X1s that you don't want to be able to block. Right? Because if you're looking at your 2-mana 2/1 or your 2-mana 3/1, and you're like, am I supposed to trade with this rat token? You're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. Rat tokens look excellent. I'm very excited about the old rat tangles.
That's a lot of, thank you for using that. That's copyrighted, by the way, trademark Lords Unlimited. That's a lot of removal previewed already. I mean, I guess it's just a lot of cards previewed already for us.
Just a lot of cards previewed already. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take one more quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about roll tokens in depth. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, Ethan, it's time to talk about your relationship to the comments.
Oof. It's not great, buddy. Creating content and getting feedback on it from anywhere and from anyone is tough for me to navigate. They're mostly positive or constructive, but it is so hard to not focus on the negative ones.
And even harder for you to not want to engage in an even more negative way. Is that fair?
Wow, just really putting everything out there, huh? Yeah, that's fair. But luckily, I have a supportive partner in my work and a supportive partner at home to bring me back to solid ground when I'm thinking about letting the worst part of me come out.
It's important to stay connected and grounded while you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and positivity. Therapy is a great tool for achieving this goal.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lords today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lords. And now, back to the show. Next up, we're going to take a look at some cards of various types that create roll tokens, so you can get kind of a sense of that. First, we have Not Dead After All. This is black for an instant. Until end of turn, target creature you control gains. When this creature dies, return it to the battlefield tapped under its owner's control. Then create a wicked roll token attached to it. Going to slot right into Rakdos Evoke.
Rakdos Evoke.
That's right. Did that just to tilt you.
Not known by any other name in the community, for sure. Next up is Conceited Witch. Is this part of a cycle? Question mark. So this is 2 and a black for a 2/3 with menace. Fine, but it's an adventure. It's got an adventure, which is Price of Beauty, single black sorcery, create a wicked roll token attached to target creature you control.
Yeah, I assume this is going to be a cycle of things that can create rolls for a single mana. Yeah.
So like, where does this fall for you? Because, you know, we've got a pretty medium vanilla. I would say this is like pure vanilla test, like 3-mana 2/3 menace is just fine. Like that's like pure filler, I would
passes,
say.
Like C minus, yeah. D
passes,
plus.
C minus D plus. But then you tack on this wicked roll token, that's the +1/+1, and when it leaves the battlefield, it deals the damage to your opponent. Like, that's pretty dang good.
It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. I would say C plus. This is gonna be a high synergy card in decks that care about the rolls.
Yeah, I agree.
Next, we've got Living Lectern. This is 1 and a blue for an 0/4. You can pay 1, sacrifice it to draw a card. Then you create a sorcerer roll token attached up to one other target creature you control. Activate only as a sorcery. So those sorcerer rolls are +1/+1, and when it attacks, you scry 1.
If this were on our great or garbage segment, where would you put this?
I almost put it there, but I decided it was garbage.
Okay, yeah, that's
not particularly interesting.
Not interesting to talk about. Sounds good to me. Next, we've got Return Triumphant. 1 and a white for a sorcery. It says real recommission vibes. Return target creature card with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Create a young hero roll token attached to it.
This is going to be good, right? Like, especially if you're targeting a 3-drop and it's going to have +1/+1. for
not
two mana?
Not necessarily.
Oh, right. It's the stupid young. It's the stupid young hero role. Yeah. Maybe not. All right. I'm less jazzed about this.
I just think you gotta recalibrate. You gotta work hard. Young hero, you just gotta work hard. Just dump. You can't do it with this, but get some young hero role tokens on some rats. Baby, you got a stew going.
Yeah, but rats are gonna be black red. They're not gonna be living this white life. We're not gonna have holy rats.
I don't know. The black white's gonna have some rats.
I suppose. Yeah. Sacrifice, to bargain away. You're gonna bargain away your precious rats.
You know I am. You know I am.
Next up, we've got Charmed Clothier. Is that how you say that? Clothier?
I think it's
Clothier.
There it is. There it is. You want it. I know you want it to be French so bad. I think it's Clothier.
Okay.
Clothier? It's unbelievable.
This is Charmed Clothier. 4 and a white for a 3/3 flyer. And whenever it enters the battlefield, create a royal roll token attached to another target creature you control, which gives it +1/+1 and ward 1.
Man, that's just good, right?
Is it? It costs 5 mana.
So I'm trying to compare it to, there's the 5 mana 3/4 flyer in Bro that was a soldier and it put a counter on a soldier. But this just puts a counter on anything. Plus the ward 1. I mean, ward 1 is this late in the game, probably not that relevant, but like not nothing.
Don't love this card.
All right. Doesn't love it. Ooh, next up we've got Cursed. Ben, what is this? Is this Courtier?
Courtier?
Cursed Courtier. This is 2 and a white for a 3/3 with lifelink. Wow, 3 mana 3/3 lifelink. But when it enters the battlefield, you create a cursed roll token attached to it. Okay, so that means it's just a 1/1. So you're making a 3 mana 1/1 lifelink. But the next time you put a roll token on it, it knocks off the cursed roll token, and then it will just be, I mean, in theory, like a 4/4 lifelink.
Right. Well, to me, this is a black-white bargain card, right? You play it, you bargain away the cursed roll.
Sure.
This,
you can,
this
is you upside, can do that, right? Too. You can do that, too.
Yeah. That's how I was viewing it, is upside in a bargain deck.
Yeah. Okay, sweet. Yeah, I'm into this. I think this is going
to
be good.
Next up, we've got Embereth Veteran, which is red for a 2/1, and you can pay 1 and sacrifice it to create a young hero roll token attached to another target creature.
So that's interesting, because oftentimes, like, we think of these, whatever, Savannah Lions variants, 1 mana 2/1s and limited as like, eh, like, how often is this? And again, we're talking about how 1 toughness creatures are kind of a liability, or they're on watch a little bit in this format. But it's interesting that then once it does become that way, you can go, all right, I'm going to drop this somewhere else. And you can do it at instant speed, so you can respond to removal. But it's not like the threat of activation is here, right? Because of the young hero roll token only triggering on attacks.
Also full of flavor, right? The veteran sacrificing himself to be the idol for the young hero that he leaves behind.
Next up, we have... Monstrous Rage, single red for an instant, target creature gets +2/+0 until end of turn, create a monster roll token attached to it. So that's going to be +3/+1 and trample for a single red at instant speed. Oh, thank God. I just thought that this was uncommon.
Yeah, this card is incredible.
Wow, that's brutal. Single mana for that?
Yeah. Similarly, we've also got Royal Treatment, which is single green for an instant. Target creature you control gains hexproof until end of turn. Create a royal roll token attached to that creature, which is +1/+1 and ward 1. Another beating combat trick for 1 mana.
Yeah, wow. Push, push, push. All right, can we chat about things caring about enchantments going to the graveyard?
Let's do it.
So, Dutiful Griffin, 3 white-white for a 4/4 flyer. Okay, 5 mana 4/4 flyer. And you can pay 2 and a white, sacrifice 2 enchantments, return Dutiful Griffin from your graveyard to your hand. So it's not quite bargain, right? But it does let you sack those, whatever, those roll tokens, especially if they're cursed. Now, I can't sack, no, right?
You can't sack your opponent's cursed
token,
right?
Your cursed token. Correct. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't love Dutiful Griffin. I think it's a little expensive.
Are you out on 5 mana 4/4 flyer?
I mean, it's fine. It's good. It's big. Yeah.
That's big.
What do you give this? It's a C+, right?
It might be a B-.
I'm going C+ for now until proven otherwise.
Wow. What is this? How have our roles reversed?
Next, we've got Knight of Doves, 2 and a white for a 1/3 knight. Whenever an enchantment you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, create a 1/1 white bird creature token with flying. Sign me up for this one.
This is all like this trinkety. I know this is just all I ever want to do. The like the black white trinkety auras going to the graveyard for minimal value.
Spin your wheels and work so hard for those bird tokens.
Please get me a bird. Please make me a rat. Like, I just can't wait for these cards. Speaking of make me a rat, I think we're on the same page here. I saw your tweet today and I was like, yep, I'm in. I was already in when I read this card the other day. Warehouse Tabby, single black for a 1/1 cat at common. Whenever an enchantment you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, create a 1/1 black rat creature token with this creature can't block, and you can pay one and a black to give the tabby death touch until end of turn. Like,
is this broken in half? That's what I want to know, because I think it is, but I'm also worried I'm overrating it.
No, this is like, this is, I mean, the thing that scares me about it is that it's an X1 currently, an X1 that I care about, but like, I just want oops all tabbies and go to town. Like,
because this is common, right?
That's like, what you're talking about.
Like, three of these on the battlefield and then sack an enchantment and get three rats.
Yes, that's exactly.
Like, for one mana invested, like, it's just so hyper efficient if you build around it.
Yes, that's what I think. I don't know if, you know, the fact that you think that and I think that, again, is that the Lords of Labinid Echo Chamber? Is that us both just like being on the same page about this card being busted? I'm guessing that it's definitely more the latter than the former, but this is the kind of thing I want to be on the lookout for, right? One of my takeaways from Brothers War was like, what are the common build arounds? And this seems like a common build around to me.
Well, and also imagine being like red green four powers or blue green casting spells mana value 5 or greater while your opponent is this rawly efficient with a one mana warehouse tabby.
This just really scares me. Like, I think swamp tabby on the other side of the battlefield turn one is just gonna make me go, oh no.
I know, that's what right? I think too.
Yeah.
Lastly, we've got Ashiok Reaper here. 3 and a black for a 3/3 nightmare. Whenever an enchantment you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, draw a card.
Good
There's a lot of cards
Lord.
That are this way that are 3/3s for 4 mana that are like have pretty good payoffs. And I'm wondering how the bodies are going to hold up.
Well, I mean, it's tough, like, especially if you are activating on that burn spell, the single red would torch the tower. If you're getting bargain on that, then you're just paying 1 mana to kill that. It's a huge tempo swing.
No.
So yeah, definitely have to be on the lookout there. And then an oldie but a goodie, a classic enchantress card. We got Tanglespan Lookout, 2 and a green for a 2/3 satyr at uncommon. Whenever an aura enters the battlefield under your control, 3 beautiful words, draw a card.
All right, that takes us on to the few bargain cards that have been previewed so far. First up, we've got Back for Seconds, which is 2 and a black for an uncommon sorcery with bargain. Return up to 2 target creature cards from your graveyard to your hand. If this spell was bargained, you may put one of those cards with mana value 4 or less onto the battlefield instead of putting it into your hand.
I mean, I have no idea. Like, we don't know, right? We don't know how easy it is going to be to enable bargain, right? Because you can't just sack a creature, right? It's got to be something special. An artifact, an enchantment, or token, ideally, I think is what you're doing, right?
Like, there's food tokens, there's treasure tokens.
There's rolls. Right? Yeah, those are tokens.
You're
as
going
well.
To be able to bargain if you build your deck right. Plus, also
this
just
is busted. If you just go 3 mana, return whatever my 2 best creatures, and one of them is mana value 4 or less, just right to the battlefield. You're possibly gaining a mana advantage with this card, right? This just seems wild to me.
But yeah, also just in for 2 and a black, rebuy 2 creatures. I think
right. That's always just a good card. Yeah. Next up, we've got Agatha's Champion. This is 4 and a green for a 4/4 with bargain and trample. So 5 mana, 4/4 trample. When it enters the battlefield, if it was bargained, it fights up to 1 target creature you don't control.
That's how I feel about that. Like, 4/4 is not a big enough body for me to be really excited about this. For 5 mana, 5/5, sign me up.
or 4/5. I need to have a 5 toughness. I need this to be able to kill an X4.
Yeah, I'm with you. Next, we've got Johann's Stopgap. This is 3 and a blue for a sorcery with bargain. Cost 2 less to cast if it's bargained. Sorcery speed, return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand. Draw a card.
Interesting.
I like it. I'm assuming going to be bread and butter in the blue-red spells deck. Although with adventure running around, is this maybe a little worse? Like, are you not going to want to bounce your opponent's adventure creatures?
Oh, that's possible. Yeah. Yeah, that's possible. I don't know. I assume this is still just going to be good. But the question will be more, I'm wondering, like, how many sacrificable things is this blue-red deck going to have? You know, like,
yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll be on the lookout for that. Next up is Rowan's Grim Search. Tuna black for an instant with bargain. You draw two cards and you lose two life. If the spell was bargained, you look at the top four cards of your library, then put up to two of them back on top of your library in any order, and the rest into your graveyard. Then draw two and you lose two life.
That's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
Like getting to go four deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for three mana at instant speed. Yeah, I agree.
Lastly, we've got some token makers here that are maybe going to help you bargain. Ooh. Only one, actually, but this is a good one. Discerning Financier. This is... How do you want me to say it? I'm being bullied. Everyone,
that was right. I was sure you were going to say financier. I just was sure.
This format is prime for me to stream on Twitch. Two and a white for a 2/3. At the beginning of your upkeep, if an opponent controls more lands than you, create a treasure token, and you can pay two and a white to choose another player. That player gains control of target treasure you control, and you draw a card.
Is this good?
It's got to be, right? Potentially free treasures to bargain away. Two and a white, 2/3. Like, it passes the vanilla test with flying colors, and then sometimes you're going to be able to pay three mana draw a card.
Yeah, I guess it's just all upside.
It's all upside.
Yeah. Okay. Let's chat about a new twist on adventures. So we're probably not going to chat about the regular adventures coming in. We'll see some of those next week in the crash course. But we've got a twist here, which is that we've got off-color adventures. So the adventure being a different mana cost, right, as akin to maybe, I don't know, when we had Unearth artifact creatures that were colorless but then had a color cost, or when we had the off-color kicker in Dominaria United. So here we've got, for example, Shrouded Shepherd, one and a white for a 2/2. When Shrouded Shepherd enters the battlefield, target creature you control gets +2/+2 until end of turn. That is aggressive if you have a one drop into this. But it's also got an adventure, Cleave the Shadows, which is one and a black for a sorcery. Creatures your opponents control get -1/-1 until end of turn. Rip.
Watch out, rat army.
Rip rats. That's tough. Man, X1s are on watch, my friend.
Yeah, this card looks quite good. And most of these are interesting in that, like, they very clearly, I think, for the most part, go in their color pair.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this one's good enough that you would play it in a white-red deck, certainly, and there's Evolving Wild in the format. Like, maybe you're going to splash the kicker off Evolving Wilds in a swamp. Who knows?
Right. Right. So we've got some fixing we'll take a look at in a bit. You know, we haven't seen. I'm really hoping that we see the return of the Golden Egg, but I don't know if that's in the cards for us, but something like that. But fixing in OG Eldraine was pretty good. You know, if you saw this in Pack 1 or Pack 2 and you wanted to splash this, you could probably cobbled together a reasonable way to do so. What I really like about this, and I don't know if the rest of these are the case, but what I love is that these are good in such different game states, you know, right? Like, I'm on the play, I curve out one drop into Shepherd. Awesome. I'm on the draw, my opponent goes X1, cool. I get to drop Cleave the Shadows, right? Like, it's very, very good that these are both great, but in very different circumstances.
For sure. Next up, we've got Frolicking Familiar. This is two and a blue for a 2/2 flyer. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, it gets +1/+1 until end of turn. So kind of prowess-ish there. The adventure is Blow Off Steam, red for an instant, and it deals one damage to any target.
This is Bone Crusher Otter.
More X1 hate as well.
Yeah, more X1 hate. Good gracious. I'm into it. Next up, we've got Threadbind Click. Three and a blue for a 3/3 flyer. A lot of chat about this in the Lords Limited Discord. Three and a blue for a 3/3 flyer. So Phantom Monster, hello. And then the adventure is Rip the Seams. Two and a white for an instant. Destroy target tapped creature.
Yeah, there was a lot of conversation that was saying this was going to be overrated. And I was like, yep, sign me up. Yep. It's going to be overrated. This guy right here. Yep. Overrated. I really like this card, especially I liked it before I knew that white blue was like trying to tap your creatures. Mm. I mean, like, this just looks like it slots right into me.
Yeah, I think this card looks excellent.
Next, we have Kallus Sellsword. This is one and a black for a 2/2. It enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it for each creature that died under your control this turn. And it's got a sorcery, Burn Together, red for an adventure. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to any other target, then sacrifice it.
So it's like a fling, but it's sorcery speed and can be fizzled, right?
Yes.
Because the thing deals damage, then you sacrifice it rather than as an additional cost to cast it, sacrifice it.
Yeah.
But still, I think I like this together, right? The cheapness, the idea is that you're doing one then the other.
Yeah. This seems like a reasonable card to me.
Yeah, totally fine.
Throwing some rats at your opponent, baby.
Love to do it. Next is Picnic Ruiner. One in a red for a 2-2 Goblin Rogue. Whenever Picnic Ruiner attacks while you control a creature with power 4 or greater, Picnic Ruiner gains double strike until end of turn. Okay. And it's got an adventure, Stolen Goodies. 3 and a green for a sorcery. Distribute 3 +1/+1 counters among any number of target creatures you control. I usually hate those kinds of effects, but tacked on to a 2-mana 2-2 that potentially will be a 2-mana 2-2 double strike when it attacks. And now you're kind of selling me. I mean, I still don't know if this is in like B range, but probably
C. This is Soraform Hybrid, right? Good early, good late. It's not quite as good as Soraform Hybrid, but
that's not a bad comparison, honestly.
I mean, that you could play on 2 and then always grow into a 6/6. This you have to draw late to get the benefit, but I mean, it's a modal 2-drop. It's good.
Yeah, okay.
Next, we've got Storm Elk. This is 3 and a green for a 3/4 with trample. It says whenever you cast a spell with mana value 5 or greater, put a +1/+1 counter on this elk. And it's got an adventure, Frantic Search. That can't be the name of it.
I mean, yeah, we're looking at this is... it's translated. This is not previewed in English. The title that we're looking at on Scryfall is "Hey, you remember that Oko fella?"
And then the adventure is Frant Elk Search.
It's not bad. That's not. I hope it is called Frant Elk Search.
There's zero chance it's called Frant Elk Search. This is 1 and a blue for an instant on the adventure, and you draw 2 cards, discard 2 cards. This is not great.
No, this is not great. I agree.
Not great.
We get some adventure payoffs. Only a couple to take a look at. First up is Chancellor of Tales. Boy howdy. 3 and a blue for a 2/3 fairy advisor. So types matter here. It's a 4-mana 2/3 flyer. Whenever you cast an adventure spell, you may copy it. You may choose new targets for the copy. So this is just Lucky Clover attached to a creature.
But way worse than Lucky Clover, though, right?
Oh, I think it's way better.
Do you really? I really disagree. Do. It doesn't come down until turn 4 and dies to removal. It's so much easier to interact with, and it comes down later in the game.
My argument for why it's better is that, and especially coming off the week of playing Eldraine, is that, you know, you had to have a minimum number of adventures to feel like you could justify Lucky Clover in your deck, right? And so for folks who don't know, Lucky Clover is just a 2-mana artifact that has this text, right? Whenever you cast an adventure spell, you copy it. And so you had to have like, I mean, either they had to be really good or you had some way to get it away or something if it wasn't good in your opener, or you had to have like 6 adventures in your deck for Lucky Clover to be good. Chancellor of Tales, you can be like, I got 3 adventures. I can play this.
Sure, yeah. So I think Clover has a higher ceiling, lower floor. This has higher floor, lower ceiling.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would buy that.
And then what's the other payoff we've got here?
Howling Galefang. This is 2 GG for a 4/4 Vigilance, and it has haste as long as you own a card in exile that has an adventure.
That's pretty dang good.
Yeah, 4-mana 4/4 Vigilance sounds real good to me.
4/4
haste for vigilance haste. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vigilance haste.
Yeah, the card's going to be a beating.
Yeah, that's a really cool card. Okay, sweet.
All right, next up, we're moving on to some celebration cards. First up, we've got Grand Ball Guest, 1 in a red for a 2/2 common, and it gets +1/+1 and trample as long as you celebrated this turn.
Okay. No, I don't like that.
I mean, it's aggressive. I mean, if it's attacking as a 2-mana 3/3 trample the turn after you cast it, like, I just imagine white-red decks are going to have a curve that is super low. The thing I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around...
What are the tokens they're making?
Right, like, that's the hard time. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around how you're not running out of gas, and then you're left with a bunch of celebrate creatures that you can't trigger.
Or how you're not making tokens that your aggressive deck doesn't care about, like food or something, you know?
Yes. So the jury's out on celebration for me. I could see it being excellent. I'm just having a hard time picturing it with the cards I've seen so far.
Well, this is another one, another common here, same sort of idea, I think much worse. This is Armory Mice, 1 and a white for a 3/1. So those are bad stats, in my opinion, right now. 2-mana 3/1. And then Celebration, it gets +0/+2 until end of turn.
Yeah, similar cards. We've got a very good uncommon here in Belligerent of the Ball. This is 2 and a red for a 3/3 with Celebration. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if 2 or more non-land permanents enter the battlefield under your control this turn, target creature you control gets +1/+0 and gains menace until end of turn.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. The fact that like you could do this and something else. I wonder if there's going to be repeatable ways, like, so that you don't have to always rely on it being stuff you cast. Like, are you going to be able to, I don't know, make a token that only lasts until end of turn or something? Like, a way to get celebration repeatedly that isn't just casting stuff that makes two permanents. You
know? Or just like mana neutral, like make a treasure draw card, something. Like just ways to do it. Because Belligerent of the Ball is excellent if you can trigger it the turn it comes down, but you can't do that on turn three unless you have a way to make another permanent without spending mana.
Right. Which is fine. Like, and then maybe you're able to double spell with it later on and get the ability. Let's move on to some rats. Rats off to you, Ben. First up, we've got Lord Skitter's Butcher. 2 and a black for a 2/3 rat peasant. When it enters the battlefield, choose one. You get one of those 1/1 black rat creature tokens that can't block. You could sack another creature, and if you do, you scry two, then draw a card, or creatures you control gain menace until end of turn.
Yeah. Also the cutest little guy, rat with the butcher's hat on here, with the chef's hat.
It's like whatever. It's like rat tattooey kind of.
Yeah. Have you heard this card's name yet?
Oh no. Am I going to like it or am I going to hate it?
I think you're going to love it. Ratatou3?
Ratatou3. Yes, I am going to love that. That's very good.
I can't take credit for that. That was Matt Sperling on Twitter, but Ratatou3. Chef's kiss.
That's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, card looks very excellent, right?
I mean, it reminds me of Kallus Bloodmage from Strixhaven, I think was the set. It was a 3-mana 2/1, and you had the choice of like making one of those pests, or you could draw a card and lose a life, or you could exile a graveyard. Like, largely, I just like these abilities better and the bodies better. Like, hello, power creep.
Yeah. Next, we've got Twisted Sewer Witch, 3 black-black for a 3/4. When it enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 black rat creature token with this creature can't block. Then for each rat you control, create a Wicked Roll token attached to that rat. This card is going to be a finisher for the red-black deck.
Whoa. Okay, so to remind people, the Wicked Roll is the ++1. And then when the aura is put into a graveyard, each opponent loses one life. So it's just sort of like, okay, so now my rats are 2/2s. And then if you kill these rats, they're dealing damage to you also.
Yeah, card's going to end some games. It's like Overrun for red-black.
Sick. Next up is Tattered Ratter. 1 and a red for a 2/2 human peasant. Whenever a rat you control becomes blocked, it gets +2/+0 until end of turn?
Yeah, card's ridiculous.
What?
Yeah, the rat deck looks pushed.
Yeah.
And then we've also got Voracious Vermin. 2 and a black for a 2/1. When it enters the battlefield, make a 1/1 black rat creature token. And whenever another creature you control dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Voracious Vermin. Just rectangles.
Sorry, I'm sorry, folks. The pause is just me picking my jaw up off the floor. Like, so this isn't as good, right, as like whatever these, the Dunland Cribbane, right? This sort of the 3-mana 2 bodies thing, right? Because we're not getting evasion. Voracious Vermin is a 2/1, not a 2/2. So we're not getting the full 3/3 of stats.
I mean, this is good. It's good. Certainly nowhere near those cards. But more than anything, just how supported the rat deck is. Now, granted, we've also seen more cards previewed for the rat deck. So certainly other archetypes could have this level of support, but it's so easy to picture a rat deck. You know what I'm saying with like white red celebration? Like, I can't quite see that yet. Like, I see the red black deck completely and it looks very good.
What about the food deck? Let's check out some of those cards. We've got Tough Cookie up first. 1 and a green for a 2/2 artifact creature food golem. When Tough Cookie enters the battlefield, you make a food token. You can pay 2 and a green to have target non-creature artifact you control become a 4/4 artifact creature until end of turn. And you can pay 2 tap to sacrifice Tough Cookie. You gain 3 life. So treat it like a food.
Yeah, much like black-green's uncommon, this card is just rawly efficient. Like, great rate all the way across the board, all upside.
Yeah.
Next, we've got Sweet Tooth Witch. Love this variation on an Eldraine card here. This is 2 and a black for a 3/2. When ETBs, you make a food token. And then you can pay 2, sacrifice a food to have target player lose 2 life. But you can do that as many times as you want in a turn. So this is going to like threaten to dome your opponent out. So makes me wonder how easy it's going to be to make food. But there were times in OG Eldraine, you had 4 or 5 food lying around. Like, all of a sudden that's like, you know, you lose 6 life, untap, you lose 6 more life, like you're dead.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ben's referring to Tempting Witch, which was 3 mana for a 1/3 made of food and you could sack the food, but you had to tap it. But it also had your opponent lose 3 life instead of 2. So I like this variation quite a bit. I agree with you. Lastly here, we've got Sky Beast Tracker. 3 and a green for a 2/4 with reach. Whenever you cast a spell with mana value 5 or greater, create a food token.
Yeah, not great.
No, not great.
And lastly, we've got a couple pieces of ramp and or fixing here. We already shouted out Evolving Wilds being in the format. Return from the Wilds looks very good to me. This is 2 and a green for a sorcery, and you choose 2. Search your library for basic land card, put it onto the battlefield, tap, then shuffle, which is normally what we get for 2 and a green, but you also get to choose one of these others, which is either create a food token or a 1/1 white human creature token.
Yeah, and I think think I'm just trying to frame this as like 3 mana for a 1/1 rampant growth.
That's excellent.
And I think I'm just in for that. Yeah. And then yeah. The fact that you get a little bit of flexibility otherwise is all upside. Next up, we've got Root Rider Fawn, 1 and a green for a 1/3 Satyr Scout, taps for a green mana, and you pay 1 tap to add 1 mana of any color. So 2 mana, 1/3 mana dork, like 2 mana, 1/3 for green, but then also can filter for any color.
Yeah, this might be enough to push me over the top on this type of card, because previously I've been down on 2 mana dork, but I think all of this adds up to a card I'm interested in.
Well, and especially this just like makes throwing a ton of those, and I think they're going to be quite good, at least the ones we've seen so far, the off-color adventure cards, you feel so much better about just throwing those in your deck when you've got just one Root Rider Fawn, you know? Like, just like, hey, I might be able to cheese this out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ben, it's been an hour, and we're finally here. It's finally time for everyone's favorite segment.
Greater Garbage.
We've got quite a list. This might be one of the longest Greater Garbage lists we've ever had.
I mean, the segment, the people have demanded more. And if you're new to Greater Garbage, the rules of the game are you have
They're quite
to
simple. They're sort of it's in the text of the title. Text.
Yes, you have to choose. Is it great or is it garbage? No copping out.
Yeah.
Except we try to cop out all the time.
We definitely, I think we each get like probably one cop out. So first up, we've got The Princess Takes Flight. 2 and a white for a saga. Exile up to 1 target creature. That's chapter 1. Ooh, 3 mana exile up to 1 target creature. Chapter 2, target creature you control gets +2/+2 and gains flying until end of turn. Chapter 3, return the exiled card to the battlefield under its owner's control.
I like this card. I'm going great.
I'm going great too. I'm in for great.
So why do you think it's great? For people who maybe are thinking we're crazy and that this card is actually garbage.
So I'm assuming that you have the same card comparison as I do, which is I'm thinking about Parallax Wave, which is an enchantment.
Let's slow down. Parallax Wave is significantly better than this card.
The comparison I am making is that a creature being gone for 2 turns is a lot longer than you think. So Parallax Wave is an enchantment. It comes into play with 5 counters. You lose a counter every upkeep, and you can also remove a counter to exile a creature until all the counters from Parallax Wave are gone. Then those creatures come back. Play pattern for Parallax Wave was often comes into play, remove 2 things. They're gone for 3 turns. 3 turns, obviously longer than 2 turns, but like it's just a lot longer than you think. You look at Parallax Wave, you're like, this is a temporary effect. Not that good. It just plays out way more powerfully than that. And I think Princess Takes Flight is getting the same kind of bump for me.
It's also definitely pushing damage. You haven't mentioned my favorite part about this. Sagas trigger enchantments going to the graveyard. And there are a lot of cards that pay you off for that.
I mean, also, I guess like there's also the upside of like you can just like take your own ETB creature out from under something. Though I think, I mean, often with adventures, you don't get a lot of ETBs because the ETB, like the spell effects are attached to the adventures. But like you can blink something. Granted, you'll get it 2 turns later, but like there's flexibility here. But I just want to say, like, straight up, getting your opponent's creature gone for 2 turns is a long time.
Yeah. Also, chapter 3 on the stack, instant speed bargain, baby.
Oh,
chapter
my
three
God.
On the stack, instant speed bargain. There's a lot going on with sagas.
You thought about the sagas, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and especially the white and the black ones. I assume this is going to be a cycle. We've only seen a few of them.
Okay.
Next, we've got Gadwick's First Duel, 1 and a blue for a saga. Chapter 1, you create a cursed roll token attached up to 1 target creature, turn it into a 1/1. Chapter 2, you scry 2. And chapter 3, when you cast your next instant or sorcery spell with mana value 3 or less this turn, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. Great or garbage?
I say great again.
I say great also. This looks like 2-for-1, 3-for-1 territory. Well, you're turning something into a 1/1, which is Frogify, but then presumably you're copying a removal spell with a third chapter, ideally, or maybe some sort of card advantage spell. You're also getting a little card selection there. It all looks great to me.
Yeah. Just this isn't actually in your 2-drop slot. Like, you don't actually want to fire this off on turn 2.
Right. Yeah. You want to hit a real creature with it for sure.
All right, next we've got Korvald and the Noble Thief. This is another saga, 3 and a red. Chapters 1 and 2, create a treasure token. Chapter 3, exile the top 3 cards of target opponent's library. You may play those cards this turn, and assuming those treasures are helping you cast the spells that you want to get, you can play the land, a land of the 3, obviously. Ben, great or garbage?
I'm going garbage on this one. Not a fan.
Me too. This is really slow. I was trying to think. I was just like, man, if like Oath of the Grey Host was too slow. And obviously, again, like different formats, blah, blah, blah. And I loved Oath of the Grey Host, but it was like just a, you just always felt like, could you just let me maybe untap with the 3-1-1s? Like, I don't know if you can even do that with Korvald, because you aren't like, at least at the light at the end of Oath's Tunnel was you knew you were getting those 3-1-1s.
You don't even know what you're getting.
You don't even know what you're getting with Korvald and the Noble Thief. I'm going garbage.
All right. Next up, we've got a spicy one. Ego Drain. This is black for a sorcery. Target opponent reveals their hand. You choose a non-land card from it. That player discards that card. So Thoughtseize, if you don't control a fairy, exile a card from your hand. Great or garbage?
Garbage.
This is going to be great in the fairies deck, right? In blue-black? I feel like this will be a card you are happy to play at least one of in blue-black.
I guess I just have no idea what, like, is this a, I don't know, 14 fairies? Like, how many fairies are you going to have? It's just a lot, I don't know. I just hate these effects in limited usually.
Well, but imagine the play pattern of like turn two fairy, turn three, another 2-drop fairy plus Ego Drain. Like, your opponent is going to feel it, right? You've disrupted their curve, presumably, with the Ego Drain. You're like adding to the board. I think this being one mana, take the best card out of their hand if you're a fairies deck, seems quite strong to me.
Okay.
So I'm going to go great with the knowing you're only ever playing this in blue black.
Yeah.
Probably a reward for being blue black, right? No, because no one else at the table wants this.
I could buy that. Yeah. Maybe you just get it super late if you're the only fairies drafter at the table.
Yeah.
That seems pretty good. Speaking of fairies, we've got Fairy Dream Thief, single black for a 1/1 at uncommon with flying. When it enters the battlefield, surveil 1, and then you can pay 2 and a black, exile Fairy Dream Thief from your graveyard. You draw a card and you lose a life. What is the question here?
Why is this great? I just didn't know where else to put it.
Oh, okay.
We should have put this on the cards to maybe not discuss. This card's great.
Okay.
Next, we've got Knight of the Sweets Revenge. This is 3 and a green for an enchantment. When it ETBs, you make a food token. Foods you control have tap to add a green, so they help you pop this off. Its ability is 5 green, sacrifice it. Creatures you control get +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of foods you control. Activate only as a sorcery.
I'm contractually obligated to say great for this card.
Really? No.
I don't think it's gonna play out as great, but I want it to be great. I'm going to treat it as such in my first drafts of the format.
This is garbage. I think this is worse than the 3/2 that can sacrifice a food to do 2 damage to the opponent.
Sure. Those are just very different cards, but sure. I don't know. I mean, so the world where you can double spell with this, and that's the thing, like, I don't know yet, like, are we getting,
oh, is this Fire's Invention? You're kind of selling me now.
Like, does green have whatever is like Argothian Opportunist in this format? Is there like 3 mana 3/2 make a food token?
All right,
and then I'm, you curve into this, and then you play a 2-drop.
Yeah, and then you untap and you're like 6 or 7 mana. Okay,
kind of gross. And then it's also an overrun at some point.
All right, you're selling me. I'm coming around. I'm great.
Next up, we've got 3 bowls of porridge, 2 mana for an artifact food. You pay 2, tap, choose 1 that hasn't been chosen. 3 bowls of porridge deals 2 damage to target creature. Tap target creature. Sacrifice 3 bowls of porridge. You gain 3 life.
I'm out. I think this card's garbage. I don't want any of these 3 effects for this much mana.
I guess you're right. I don't know. There's so
this
much.
It seems like a terrible Scalding Cauldron, and Scalding Cauldron was not great.
Yeah, you're right.
Wait. I take it back. This card's great.
You get to do all three things.
I read this wrong.
But they are expensive. So you're paying 8 mana, obviously in installments, for 3 pretty small effects.
Yeah.
I think I want to go back to your initial.
My initial impression.
I think it's garbage.
Yeah. I still think garbage, but it's got my curiosity piqued.
Okay.
All right. Next, we've got Edgewall in. Easiest great ever, I think, maybe.
Yes, right? Like, again, why is this on the list?
Because it doesn't have a home anywhere else. I guess it could have gone in the fixing section.
Could have gone in fixing, yeah.
It should have gone in the fixing section.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
But this card is great. We'll read it to you instead of just gushing about it.
No. You have to know what this is already.
Land enters the battlefield tapped. When ETBs, you choose a color. Tap to add 1 mana of the chosen color, and you can pay 3, tap, sacrifice it. Return target card that has an adventure from your graveyard to your hand. The question I have for you, is this going to be one of the best uncommons in the set?
Game in hand
win rate, 17 lands. Is this going to be top 5, top 10?
You're not allowed to ask that question, actually. I'm going to say no, just because usually colorless cards don't get that high because
too many people play with them and lower the win rate.
Right. They're just like, people take them and like, you know, you just, oh, I didn't end up with any adventures. Like, okay, well, what the heck is wrong with, I don't know. Like, maybe this ends up top 10. It's hard for me to imagine if like the set is powerful, not taking this out of most pack. Like, if, unless my rare is busted, I'm just taking this, right?
It's free real estate. And like, we haven't had lands in a long time that are auto picks. Like, because the reason to pick lands is you get to play more of your draft picks, right? We haven't had a land this powerful and limited in a while.
Right. I mean, this is, what's it called from Neon Dynasty, was the first part of this where it just like came into the battlefield tapped, picked a color, got to tap for that color. Like, that's just good.
Yeah.
And then, oof, then it's just a, not even just a spell. It's a double spell. It's an adventure. So good. All right. Next up is Eerie Interference. This is 2 and a white for an instant. Prevent all damage that would be dealt to you and creatures you control by creatures until end of turn.
I love this card. Does that make me terrible?
That does, in fact, make you terrible. This is garbage, right? This is Safe Passage. Isn't this just Safe Passage?
Yeah, but I love Safe Passage too.
But there, so hold on. There was a. I wish if I had done any homework and not just dealt with a crying baby all day, I could have made this comparison. There was a more recent card that overperformed, I think, or maybe it woefully underperformed. I'm trying to figure out like when, because for there was a while where Safe Passage, which was like 2 and a white. Your stuff has protection from your opponent's stuff until end of turn or whatever. There's a while where that was really good. And then it was just terrible.
I like this card. I just am imagining the dream scenario, you know, where your opponent attacks out and then you block everything and you blow them out. Like,
but that just doesn't happen that often.
I know it doesn't happen, which is why this is probably garbage, but I am attracted to this type of card. I can't help myself.
Okay. I can't stop you.
I am going to say garbage, though, I think, but I want it to be great.
Have some guts. I said, I'm contractually obligated to give Knight of Sweet's Revenge a great. It sounds like you might be contractually obligated here.
My head says garbage.
Okay.
My heart says great. Next, we've got Break the Spell. White for an instant. Destroy target enchantment. If a permanent you controlled or a token was destroyed this way, draw a card.
I say garbage.
Really?
I don't know, man.
So low impact, such a low cost.
But for a low effect, like, so the most common way you're getting what you want here is destroy a roll token, draw a card, right?
Yeah.
That's the most common way you're going to replace this with a card.
Yes, I think that's reasonable. But then there's also that whole cycle of 63 busted enchantments that, like, this is main deck answers for at low cost, right?
Okay. That's fair. Yeah, maybe this is just like, okay, the floor is people are going to have roll tokens.
Yes, that's my take on it. And so I think as a result, I mean, it's not like great, but it's not garbage. Like, I think this is much more playable than it looks because of the enchantment slot.
So I think that means it lands on the side of great. But with the caveat of like, you basically just want one.
Yeah.
Like probably you're in a spot where like your white decks want one, but not more than one.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Next, we've got Ice Out. This is 1 blue-blue for an instant. Counter target spell. And it's got bargain. Costs 1 less to cast if it's bargained. Break ice in case of emergency.
Saruman's trickery and didn't say please have just got you all hot and bothered for cancels.
I don't hate this card. I don't think it's great. I think this is garbage.
This is garbage.
I'm giving it a garbage, but I think it's playable.
Because the thing, like, I don't think the thing about cancel in limited is that it's 3 mana versus blue-blue. Like, 1 blue-blue versus blue-blue, I don't think is the thing. I think it's like, I just need a little bit of, I just need that 1/1 a mass.
I hear you.
I just need that mill 3. I just need a little something-something.
I hear you.
Next up is Into the Fae Court. Is it back, Ben?
I hope so. I am hot and bothered by this card. 3 blue sorcery, draw 3 cards, make a 1/1 blue fairy creature token with flying, and this creature can block only creatures with flying.
Sounds like we're on two sides of the Fae Court.
You think this is garbage?
I think this is garbage.
This is so close to Muldrifter. So close.
It's so close. But again, like Muldrifter and Lorien Revealed, what makes those cards really good is that you can do something with them before 5 mana.
Yeah, I hear that. I still am going to go great on this card. This card seems powerful. I wish the flying fairy could block like large ground creatures. Then I would feel confident in my grade evaluation.
I think so.
As it stands, this is my heart saying great, but I'm going to go great. I'm contractually obligated.
There we go. There it is. Next, we've got Hopeless Nightmare. A lot of scuttle about this in the Lords Limited Discord as well. Single black for an enchantment. This is a common. When Hopeless Nightmare enters the battlefield, each opponent discards a card and loses two life. When Hopeless Nightmare is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, scry two, and you can pay two in a black to sacrifice Hopeless Nightmare.
This card is great.
Yeah, like the fact that black at common has two, what I believe to be nearly broken one mana plays in this and the cat, Tabby. Ooh, I mean, the comparisons of like, this is sort of a love child of Virus Beetle and Okiba Reckoner Rage, right? It's pretty apt, right? They discard a thing, they lose two life, but then you've got all that synergy of like, this is a thing you could bargain, or like this also when you sacrifice it, this is an enchantment going to the graveyard. Like this just is like check, 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 check.
Yeah. Bad top deck late in the game, but like insane early and mid game. So you're probably still happy running two to three of them, I would think.
And even when it's a bad top deck late in the game, it's four mana scry two.
Yeah. And they lose two life, right? Or like they lose two life, a synergy piece that you can sacrifice or do something with. Yeah.
And it's been a long time since like any card wasn't important. And what I mean by that is like even having your opponent discard a land on turn seven, like might be not nothing is all I'm saying. Like if we think like certainly coming off of LTR, we wanted those resources in our hand to then loot away with the ring or whatever. And that might be the case. Something like that might be the case here as well.
All right. Lastly, we've got, Next, we've got Brave the Wild. This is green for a sorcery with bargain. If this spell was bargained, target land you control becomes a 3/3 elemental creature with haste that's still a land. And you can search your library for basic land card, reveal it, put it in your hand, and then shuffle.
I mean, it's great.
No. This is garbage. You think this is great?
It's not. It can't be garbage. It's like you're always, like in any green deck, you're always playing the first copy of Brave the Wild. So it just replaces a land. And this sort of mitigates the oops, you top deck this, because then you can just play, all right, well, get to make a land a 3/3. And you even get to sort of like, you know, it's not like you're down a land because you find, you know, this is great. If it has to be one of the two, which it does based on the rules of the game. I'm sorry, bud. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You can't give single green search up a basic land garbage.
Yeah, all the other text is throwing me off. All right. I'm sold.
Okay. Bring us home here.
Lastly, we've got Harried Spearguard. This is red for a 1/1 with haste. And whenever it dies, make a 1/1 black rat creature token with this creature can't block.
You can call me Tony the Tiger because this card is great.
Yeah, this is really pushing the envelope on like how bad can they make it and you're still pretty jazzed about to play it. This is pushing the line.
Tangles. Yeah.
This is pushing the line. I mean, it's on death too. I think this is closer to garbage than it is to great. I'm going garbage here.
Really? Why is that? You're not excited about this in a red-black sack deck as just two bodies?
Yeah, but like the front is so underwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, it probably turn one, it probably chips in for a couple points of damage, and then later on you just like chump with it or chump sack or I don't know, like...
Like it's not a bargain enabler primarily is what this is going to be, right?
Well, only with the token because you can't.
Yeah,
sack this.
I guess. Yeah, this card's just a little at odds with itself too. The flavor text is also talking about bricks. I think this card is just kind of a brick.
Okay, well, I can't top that. I'm gonna still say great, but I agree with you that this feels like it's push. It's like how close can we get to bad, right?
And still get you excited about this
if
card.
If it was. Here's a weird question. If it was like rat, if it was a rat
on the front,
if it was just black haste, 1/1 can't block, dies into a rat token.
I would like it much more, significantly more.
Because rats matter?
Because it fits better with the black cards that I've seen. Like this just seems kind of at odds with itself.
Interesting.
Because you're going to want to be heavy black because of those black one drops. Like, you're going to want your black decks to be able to double spell with black pretty early on, I think.
This might be able to do some cute stuff with, I'm forgetting the mechanic, but the thing that cares about the two permanents entering the battlefield. Like, if you can play this, or if you have something come in that has you sack this, and then you get the rat, then you're getting the two permanents.
Yeah, I agree. There's things there, but all of it seems not quite good enough to me. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair. I'm going to say great, but I like all the things you're pointing out.
All right. Any parting thoughts before we go here?
Rats off to you.
Rats off to you. Great place to wrap us up. Thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
Thanks so much to CoolStuffInc.com for sponsoring this podcast. If you're heading over there for any and all purchases, and we know you are, you got a closet you need to fill up with boxes of boosters to draft down the road, please use code LOL. All caps when you check out to let them know we sent you there. And more importantly, to get 5% off anything you purchase. You can find all of our content over at our website. That's lordsoflimited.com. That's all of our episodes. You're going to want to check out our tier list, the Ben Wernie patented tier list that's going to be up. All of your criticisms of what cards he has gotten correct or incorrect can be directed to him via our website. We, of course, have a way for you to contact us there. You can check out our merch. You can check out our Patreon page as well as our streams and our YouTube channel, where we will have an Arena Cube primer for you at the end of this week.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later. Next, we've got Callous Sellsword. This is one and a black for a 2/2. When it ETBs, Next, we've got Callous Sellsword. This is one and a black for a 2/2. When it enters the battlefield with a plus... No. What is wrong with my brain?
It enters the battlefield. Yeah.
I know what I'm trying to say. Next, we've got Callous Sellsword. This is one and a black for a 2/2. And when it enters the battlefield... No. There's no when. God dang it.
Ay, ay, ay.
My brain is short-circuiting. We've got a clip, folks. We've got an outro.
No. I guess all the clothiers are staying in the episode. That's just good hashtag content.